From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. What a great Saturday morning. God, just looked at my weather app right now, 79 degrees, high of 91. Then looking ahead, this might be our last 90-degree temperature of the year. It should be. Looking ahead, we got 70s and 80s next Friday, next Saturday. Ugh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weather here in the Central Valley. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, talking to you about all the good stuff that's going on in the Valley. We are smack dab in the middle of football season in the high school area, in the central section, the Central Valley. We had a really good game last night. We were able to broadcast Clovis North and Frontier of Bakersfield. Before I get into that game, I've got a fun story with that game as well. Broadcasting with Phil Bonatti and Pat Hill. Pat Hill is absolutely amazing. Love every time I'm able to broadcast with Pat Hill. But, yeah, really good game. I got to thank a couple sponsors. Live here at First String Sports is where I do my show every Saturday. Off to the right-hand side is where the Letterman's Jacket room is. It's where I set up the table. The chairs are all here. I got some really good guests lined up for today. Got the Facebook Live going. Got the streaming service, YouTube, Twitch, straight from 1430 ESPN. First String Sports are great, great, great sponsors of the student-athletes in the Central Valley. It's the only place where you can get your Letterman's jackets. To my right, I got Bullard and Central, Kalinga, Sunnyside. Had a good win last night. Clovis North behind me. Going to get to them in just a second. Sanger, Liberty, Madera. There's people all throughout the morning bringing in their Letterman's jackets, getting them, you know, fitted how they want to get fitted, getting the patches all configured. First String Sports, awesome, on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Also want to thank our new sponsor, Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They're located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. And if you guys haven't heard, we do an incredible job at 1430 ESPN with our Student Athlete of the Week. Thanks to Raw Farms for sponsoring that. You can go to the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, nominate Student Athlete of the Week. They'll go on Phil Bonatti's show on Thursday. You get hooked up. You get swag, invited to a banquet at the end of the year. We have a girls 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. We have a boy that get scholarship money. Really cool deal. Make sure you guys nominate. Could be your grandson. Could be your granddaughter. Right? Could be one of your players. Could be one of your students. It doesn't matter. We want to celebrate the student athletes in the Central Valley. All right. So I mentioned that we broadcasted the Clovis North and Frontier game. One of the best games that we've broadcasted in the last couple years. Incredible contest. Clovis North coming in at 4-0 on the season. Frontier 1-3. But don't be deceived by that 1-3 record. Their one win was against Clovis High. They've had the 17th best, or I should say most difficult, schedule in the state of California. Easily the toughest schedule in the central section. Again, they beat Clovis High, did this Frontier team. And I had Clovis North favored. He's just been looking really, really strong. And they jumped out to a nice lead. Actually had a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. Frontier comes back with 21 straight points. So the score's tied at 34-34. 3 minutes and 45 seconds left on the clock. Three timeouts. Clovis North was able to sustain a drive. Tyree Sams caught one of those little, touch passes. He's got speed to burn from about 15 yards out. Was able to score the go-ahead touchdown with a minute 17 left. Hail Mary at the end of the game for Frontier was intercepted, I think, by Sams. It was hard to tell from our angle. But Clovis North holds on for a nice 41-34 victory over Frontier. Heading into track play. They're going to be playing Central on Thursday. That's going to be a really tough game, defending Central Section champs. It's going to be a fun game to watch. We're not going to be able to go to that one. We are broadcasting Clovis West and Clovis East next week, and that will be a lot of fun. But there was a pretty funny moment in that game on the broadcast, at least. Lucas Smith, the quarterback for Clovis North, had a phenomenal game. Couple rushing touchdowns, 3 touchdown passes. He was a gamer. The guy can scoot as well. Had a couple really nice runs, not on design plays, able to escape the pocket. He probably had close to 100 yards rushing. And one of his touchdowns kind of scrambled to the right, got hit a couple times, made a couple moves, and just kind of lunged into the end zone, was hit pretty hard, stayed down on the field after the touchdown, and kind of working on his leg. You know, it was on the far corner, weren't able to see exactly what was going on. But we could tell he's working on his leg, and hops up and is limping a little bit, okay? But they didn't seem too concerned. He's kind of going on his own, walking off the field on his own. And coming back to the trainer's table, and I said, yeah, it looks like he just got a shin burger, because he was up on the training table and they were rubbing his shin. And then he started smiling, waving to the crowd. So, gave him a little thumbs up. So we knew he was good. And when I said shin burger, got to make sure I say that correctly, Coach Pat Hill turned to me and he looked at me like, where'd that come from? I've never heard that phrase before. So that became a topic of conversation for the rest of the game. And that's a phrase that I grew up with. And maybe those listening are like, yeah, I remember saying shin burger. It's when you get hit in the shin and it hurts for like 4 or 5 minutes and, you know, maybe bruises up and puffs up a little bit, sticks some ice on it. I remember getting those shin burgers when riding your bike and the bike pedal comes up. It just racks you, right? That's what we call this shin burger. I mentioned, and Coach Pat Hill, man, he thought that was the craziest thing that's ever come out of my mouth. And anyway, we had a good time with that. So Shinburger, that's a thing, right? I don't know. Agree or disagree. But anyways, I said that live on air. Good win again for Clovis North. Kind of a light schedule in the central section yesterday. Only 41 total games. The track only had 2 games. Buchanan and Paso Robles played. CMAC was off. Knowing the CMAC played. I'm going to get to the scores in just a second. A little bit of a different format, but this is going to be a loaded show. Really excited about this show. After the break, we got Coach Andrew Pancotti from McLean. His Highlanders are 5-0 on the season. They defeated Fresno High 42-0 last night. Check this out. This is a crazy, crazy stat. They've outscored opponents 262-17 on the season. Let me say that again, 262-17. I think they've only played one full non-running clock game this year. That was against Sunnyside. All the other games have been running clock. Always love catching up with Coach Pancotti. Got a really good team. He's got some crazy stats from his players. His quarterback's been amazing this year. I'm looking forward to October 9th. They're going to be taking on Roosevelt. That's going to be a hot game. Ricky McCoy, he's coming on the show next week. He's got a good team over there, too. They're undefeated as well. So Coach Pancotti after the break, after I give a bunch of scores as well. Kobe Hunter coming on the show for the first time as a head coach at Clovis North. I'm going to be talking about that great game from last night. I don't know. Right? Is it when you woke up this morning, is it more of like, oh, my gosh, great win? Or, gosh, we almost blew the game. So he's doing a great job, 5-0. On the season. Great to catch up with Colby. Around 10:42, he's going to be coming on. At the top of hour number 2, one of my favorite guys, George Cicada. Bring him on every year. He just knows everything about the Central Valley. He's a big Raiders guy, huge Fresno State guy. Covered the Bulldogs for many, many years back in the day when he was on KC24. George, yeah, always fun to chop it up with George. At the bottom of hour number 2, Dave Wilson, the head coach at Kingsburg High, will be coming on. His Vikings are 3-2, but coming off last week, a shutout win against Sanger. Fantastic win against Sanger at home. Sanger hadn't been shut out since 2022. Vikings played excellent defense in that one, obviously. Love talking with Dave. He's got my kind of sense of humor. Yeah, we share a lot of things in common as well. All right, so that's who's coming on the show. Let's go over some scores from last night. There's actually one game on Thursday of note. San Joaquin Memorial, 49. Central Grizzlies, 13. Remember, that's not the Central East Bengals. That's the new football team in town. So San Joaquin Memorial, that game was a late addition as well. Keep rolling. They are 3-2 before they hit CMAC play. East Sequoia League action. Granite Hills defeated Orange Cove 52-12. Arosi defeated Lindsay in a tight game 20-6. Strathmore 63. Farmersville 16. Woodlake, those guys keep putting up points, 63. So back-to-back 63 games from Strathmore and Woodlake. They defeated Corcoran 63-6. In North Yosemite League action, mentioned the McLean win over Fresno, 42-0. Roosevelt handled Torres, 46-14. Sanger West, 49. Hoover, 21. And Sunnyside, 60. Madera South, 14. So all four wins in the North Yosemite League were all by, the winning team scored more than 40 points. 42, 46, 49, 60. Well, points aplenty in that league last night. In non-league action, a game that we had our eye on. How good is Bakersfield Christian? They beat Tulare Union on the road, 30-7. Coach Darren Carr and his team, man, looking really, really strong to hold that Tulare Union offensive team to only 7 points. Very, very formidable. So congrats to Bakersfield Christian on that win. Buchanan all over Paso Robles, 49-13. And Tanvir, who is producing the show, checked out that game. I think they had 42 points at halftime, so that game was over before half. So Tanvir, just, I think this is your first look at Buchanan. We've had Coach Ross Wood on the show. Yep. They are 5-0 as far as record's concerned. They are 4-1. They had that forfeit win against Bakersfield, who they lost to on the field in week one. What did you see from Buchanan last night?
Yeah, when you go into these type of games, you never really know what you're going to get because Buchanan was clearly the better team. But I was trying to look at more of the defensive side of the ball and what Buchanan was doing to kind of stop Paso Robles. Because I think offensively, you don't really see that much of a challenge per se. But Buchanan started it off early with a punt return TD, and that was a big play. I think that's easily what opened this game up quickly. They had a lot of opportunities defensively to stop the run. Their linebackers were kind of flying all over the place. And I think that regardless of the offense that they faced, I think them being able to stop the run like they did was pretty impressive. So that was big. One, I guess, the concern that I had was the cornerbacks. They did get burned a couple of times, but I think that also could just be the fact that, you know, turning off their brain with, you know, the opponent that they had at that point because they were up as many points as they were. But defensively as a whole, it's still got an interception in that third quarter to kind of, you know, seal any sort of comeback opportunity from Paso Robles. And I was generally impressed with their front seven. I think that they were very fast. They were able to run sideline to sideline very well, and that nickel front or nickel scheme, I should say, really worked out for them.
And the track as a whole heading into next week is 25-5.
Yeah.
So pretty
crazy.
Darn good in record so far. Yeah, I know you've seen a lot of teams in the track. How do you think Buchanan stacks up against, you know, Clovis West, Clovis Central East, Clovis North, and Clovis East?
I think one thing I will say, I think the quarterbacks of the other teams, I think, are a little bit better. Buchanan's quarterback being a junior, I think that is, he has a little bit of learning step to have for this season. But regardless, he can still sling the ball. He had a pretty impressive just rollout. Sidearm throw that I saw in the second quarter of that game, which was impressive. So I will say offensively, I think this team will have to rely on their run game to get a lot of points. They had a couple of explosives, but the run game was really what they were leaning on. And they had a pretty explosive duo, Gannon Sever and Carvel Wafer, the whoever returned the punt return. Both of them were pretty good. They
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of speed on the outside runs, and they were able to get to the second level pretty easily. So that's where I sit on the Buchanan offense. Buchanan defensively, I think if they can shore up that back line, that secondary, then I think that they'll be a pretty formidable front seven to deal with.
I agree. Defense is definitely a strength for Buchanan. Those two skill guys, Wafer and Severs, are pretty fast. They're pretty elusive. Not the biggest of players, but they could definitely scoot. Hey, good right. job by you. Appreciate you going to that game, Tanvir. Yeah. And it's gonna be a crazy season in the track. That's for sure.
Yep, track season coming up. I'm so excited. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, Buchanan 4-1 on the field. Clovis West 4-1. Clovis 4-1. Central East 4-1. Clovis North 5-0. The only undefeated team heading into league play, and Clovis East at 4-1 as well. All right, got a couple more scores before we hit the break and bring on Coach Pancotti. Liberty of Bakersfield. How about those Patriots finally get their first win of the year? They defeated Independence 17-10. Garces with a nice win, 38-6 over Rigetti. Golden West 39, strong ball club. Tehachapi 3. CBC gets on the board, defeated Mission Prep 49-7. So points aplenty for the Cavaliers in that one. Parlier gets a win, their second win of the season, 34-11 over Tranquility. Reedley comes back to defeat Mount Whitney 20-16. Scroll down a little bit. How about this? St. Joseph defeated Shafter 38-7. St. Joseph, might they sneak into the highest division in the playoffs brackets? They very well could, despite that loss to Tulare Union. They are based D1 teams. Tulare, Washington Union defeated Kalinga 28-6. And Emmanuel, my Eagles, defeated El Capitan 44-20. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from Andrew Pancotti, the head coach of McLean. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. And my next guest is a guy that I remember watching as a player at Clovis East, reading about him in the Fresno Bee, hearing about all of his great teams as a member of the Timberwolves squads back in the day, and then reconnected when he came back to the Valley. And he's done a fantastic job at McLean High School. Andrew Pancotti, he's been on the show plenty of times. Andrew, good morning. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Paul. I'm doing great. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day, absolutely. And when I contacted you this morning, you're like, man, just hanging out with my daughter. Man, cherish those mornings, my friends. The time goes by super, super fast as a dad who's raised three daughters who are now 22, 20, and 18 years old, man. I know you take those times as, you know, a beautiful time with your daughter. So take advantage of those, that's for sure.
Will do, yes. I've been very blessed to have a child, Stella, 2 weeks ago in the middle of football season, but it's been fun.
That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about last night's game. You guys are taking on a Fresno High team coming in with an undefeated record. Were you guys, just kind of walk us through the game. I'm pretty sure it was 35-0, according to Max Preps, at halftime. Just who was cooking and who looked good last night for you guys?
I think as a team, man, we're firing all cylinders right now. Our defense, offense is rolling. The offense is led by the quarterback who's thrown 20 passing touchdowns. He has 2 rushing, and the stat I care about is he has no interceptions. He's a sophomore, Vernon Lacy. He's done a great job. But he's able to do that right with the guys around him. Our left tackle, Makai and Brody and Sebastian, Raymond and Achilles have all protected him. I think he's only given up 2 sacks on the year. Been great. And then it makes it easy when you got guys like Demetrius Simons, Juju Scott, Kamani Harris, and Jaron Scott, who just make plays. I mean, we have athletes on the perimeter, and then the run game is led by Demarie. So it's flowing. It's really doing really good right now.
So you mentioned Lacy. I definitely want to talk about him. Only a sophomore. He came into the year with – or came into last night's game with 16 touchdowns, so said he's up to 20. So he threw four last night. And that all-important zero interceptions goes a long way. Just talk about his progression. Like, when you're throwing in a sophomore, you know, on a high-level varsity team like you guys have at McLean, what's that been like for him, and how's it been for you as a coach coaching him?
Well, you know, I first met him at SCAN. He's in our feeder program as a seventh grader and, you know, eighth grader, ninth grader. And, of course, the number one thing is the maturity, right? Can he be a leader? Can he lead the team? Can he control the huddle? And that was always the big thing that he needed to prove to me. He's always had the ability to throw the ball. But can he come up to a varsity level and take a hit and then get up and then do it again? Those are the questions I've always wondered about him. And so far, he's proven to be able to handle all of it. I'm very impressed by his maturity and leadership in the last 8 to 10 months since about spring ball. He's done a great job. So,
has there been a certain play that has stuck to you that he's made this year, maybe a rollout play, maybe it's a play he had to improvise, or maybe even called an audible at the line? Is there a play that's just kind of popped into your head right now about how talented of a player he is?
But he, when we had pads on first, and we have a sprint to the right and a sprint to the left, and I hate rolling quarterbacks to the left, especially if they're right-handed. Like, I never have success with it. No quarterbacks can do it. Don't even do it. It's a bad play, right? And, of course, my OC is like, no, Vernon can do it. And he, you know, we sprint left, and he boots out, turns around, and he puts a dart on our Kamani Harris as a corner route, post corner. And it was a perfect ball. And I watched it multiple times, and I said, this is a special play. This right here is very special, man. You can do this in Baltimore. You got talent, dude. So keep working on it. Don't just let this be the end. I keep developing it. We talk about maximizing. Like, don't be just a sophomore Vernon forever. Like, be junior Vernon, senior Vernon. Like, get more out of yourself.
Yeah, I hope to get to one of your games this year because I've heard a lot of great things about him. Obviously, those stats pop, and, yeah, I love hearing that story. But, you know, and you mentioned your wide receivers a little bit, but, you know, a quarterback needs dudes to throw to. So talk about your two guys, what the strengths they bring to the team. Simon, is that how you say his name?
Simon, yeah, Demetrius Simon. Again, another kid
and Scott
from our feeder school, Scott. And this kid, you know the story now with all the transfers. This kid could go anywhere, and you knew right away this kid could be special. If he was to, you know, maximize his talents in the weight room, speed training, and obviously at football. And he's done, you know, the dad can trusted me. He's like, Pinkotti, if you're here, I want to keep my son here. And this kid has just done an amazing job. He's the first one that at zero period every day. He works out hard. He's a very quiet kid, but he just leads by example. He's having an amazing year offensively and defensively. He got offered from Cal Poly, Sac State, Arizona, UC Davis, and Fresno State's on him. Fresno State came Friday morning to watch him work out. They came Friday to the game. And so right now he's committed to Cal Poly. And I'm so happy for him. He deserves nothing but the best. And he's definitely our senior captain, our senior leader, our most valuable player. And then you got other guys like Juju Scott, Kamani Harris, and Jaron Scott. All those kids are just athletes.
Yeah, looking at the stats, so averaging 19.8. Again, this is before the Fresno game last night, 19.8 yards per catch. So you guys are making the most of those opportunities. And you mentioned your D-line. Your D-line has almost 30 sacks this season, 29.5. Are they just getting after it, dialing up? Are they happening on blitzes? Or are they just, you know, just getting to the quarterback?
No, you know, we play sound defense. Junior Ray Golda, who's a junior, is leading the way with Greg and Noah and John. And our coach, Henry, is this all offseason Coach Trench has been just working these kids. They're doing agility drills. They're out there on Saturdays, Sundays, just whenever they can meet up at a park or whatever. These guys are working. And they're, the number one thing is from last year when we lost to Emmanuel 22-21 in the playoffs, we knew we had to stop the run. We knew we had to get stronger up front and in the trenches. And these kids, these four dudes right here, man, have done nothing but great in this offseason.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up, that loss to Emmanuel in the playoffs. Yeah, was that a motivating factor? I'm glad you mentioned, man, we needed to beef ourselves up front, because with the playoffs, right, you know your league, right? You know the strengths and weaknesses of the teams that you play in your league. When you're in the playoffs, you're like, oh, man, this is a different style of football. That kind of caught you by surprise, and you made adjustments, obviously, in the offseason.
Well, yeah. Well, we knew, you know, Emmanuel, they get these Samoans, I don't know, like from Australia or something. And these kids are humongous, and they're strong, and they're great offensive linemen. And we knew that they're going to run the wing T, they're going to run the power eye, and we're going to have to stop the run. We might play teams like them, we might play teams like Wasco, and these teams are going to just run the ball. And that's kind of, I think, been the Achilles of inner city Fresno or – the weakness is stopping the run. So this offseason, that was the main focus.
Is this program, Coach Pancotti, where you want it to be? Just talking about you taking over. And again, I love those stories that you shared on air about when you went, you had the first meeting and like, what, 11 guys showed up. You're like, this is everybody, right? To come to this point where you guys are 5-0, how happy are you? Is this where you wanted the program to be?
Paul, it's amazing to watch now. You know, our JV team is 5-0. First time that ever happened. Like, I have 51 guys on my JV team. I had to buy 20 more helmets because you have so many kids. And you know, varsity is doing with it. But it's the culture's built. I tell the kids all the time, good teams are led by coaches, which would be me and my staff. Great teams are led by players. This is your team. You lead it. And guys like Demetrius, who's been with me 4 years, and Makai Walker with the O-line, and guys like Junior, they are leading this team. It's not me. And so it's really cool to watch. I'm really happy where I'm at right now, and I love it so much.
Yeah, I could definitely see it and see the culture change. You've done an amazing job. All right, another question for you, Coach. You're playing Roosevelt on October 9th. Coach McCoy is doing an amazing job at Roosevelt as well. I don't want to skip ahead. I don't want you looking ahead necessarily, but that looks like that's going to be a really, really tough matchup. You talk about trying to stop the run, but they got a really good quarterback too. But what are you looking forward to there? Because that looks like that could be for NYL title.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I hope they stay undefeated. I hope we stay undefeated. And I hope, you know, bring some rivalry back to the NYL. And some excitement, get some people in the stands. And we'll also be playing for, it's called the Battle of Cedar, since we're both on Cedar Avenue. There's a big trophy, there's a rivalry going on there. It's for the NYL championship. Like, hey, let's fly in the ball, let's parachute it down, let's bring it all out. Fireworks, everything, let's make it an experience for the kids and the community.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Is that game at home? Is it going to be at McLean? On your stadium?
It'd be on McLean, yes.
That's awesome. All right, last question for you here, Coach. Just, like, talk about school spirit, how school has been rallying around your program as well. You mentioned those 51 kids on the JV and lower levels, which is amazing. Like, football just has a different feel of bringing a school together, and I see that at McLean. Just talk about how neat of a feeling that is when you walk around campus, you see kids wearing McLean stuff and the school spirit and everything that goes with that.
Yeah, every year we do this thing called a summer bridge. It's like freshman orientation, but it's a week long. And I have 37 freshmen that have been with me since June 14th, the first day I can get them, right? And so they were with me for 6 weeks. This freshman orientation is a week before school starts. And all 37 of them, majority of them, showed up every day, Monday through Thursday. They were bought in, 7:30 in the morning to 10:30, doing a great job. And we go to this freshman orientation, and they're all wearing their football T-shirt, right? And you just see it. They just walk together. They're doing chants. They're having fun. They're leading the freshman chants. They're having a great time, great energy. And it's a week long. You know, we do a pool party, take them for the steak, go bowling, all this stuff. And so it's really cool to see it, man. It's fun. It's energizing.
That's fantastic. Again, hey, Andrew, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. You guys are taking on Torres next week. We mentioned the Roosevelt game. And then you have Sanger West, Madera South, and Hoover to finish out the season. Hey, halfway point mark. You guys are looking really strong. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you as always.
Appreciate you and everything you do for the football community. Thank you, Paul.
All right, you bet. Andrew Pancotti, head coach at McLean High School. Gosh, 262-17. They've outscored their opponents through their first five games this season. Great guy, doing a great job there at McLean. We're going to take a break, and we're going to bring on Colby Hunter, the head coach at Clovis North. Huge win over Frontier last night. Crazy game, crazy win, 41-34. Coach Hunter is doing a great job. I'm going to talk about that final drive, what was going through their mind, the play calling, and all that good stuff. All right, we'll take a break here. You're listening to It All on 1430 ESPN Fresno. All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Fade out the Scorpions right there. Tanvir producing the show. He's always on his music game, man. I love a good intro song, right? So good choices by him. We got Colby Hunter on the line, the head coach at Clovis North. Just a wild and fun game to call last night on 1430 ESPN. TV was there as well. It was homecoming. My gosh, a lot of things going on. But in the end, the Broncos defeated Frontier 41-34 in a highly entertaining football game. Colby is gracious enough to join us on this very busy Saturday morning. All right, Colby, that game ended, what, I don't know, 12 hours ago? It's 10:45 in the morning. That game was a long one. It was a fantastic win for you guys, but was it more of a sense of relief? Like, guys, we got to play better defense late in the game. Or, I mean, what was going through your mind after the game?
Yeah, I think, we played really, really well up into the start, end of third quarter, start of the fourth quarter. I think, it just was a long game, and we got out of sync offensively. We kind of put ourselves in a little bit of a bind on special teams, and hats off to Frontier. They took advantage of that. I think, too, the way the game was going was we were in control of it for the most part, and I think our kids took a little bit of a foot off the gas pedal, if you will, coaches as well, and so good learning lesson. We get back to grindstone, but we came out with a win,
Absolutely. I want to talk about that final drive in just a second, but going into the game, right? Big game, Frontier. Don't let that 1-3 record fool you. They've had the toughest schedule in the Central Section. Like, what did you guys try to take away, like, before the game, watching on video, and what were your main concerns about Frontier?
I mean, all around, we thought they were a pretty top-to-bottom good football team. They don't really have any weaknesses as far as talent on the field. We thought that we could match them physicality-wise. I think you can see our offensive line and defensive line are very, very physical, and we think that's where the games are won. And so, I think, as far as a skill, man, 1-11 are probably the best I've seen in a long time as a tandem wide receiver duo. And I think that quarterback played really well as well. Seems like he's gotten better from watching the film game to game. And again, like you said, they played a really tough schedule. And trial by fire, a lot of the teams that don't go and put themselves in that don't end up coming back to the Valley and doing as well. I think they were a tested football team, and it was two really good teams facing each other last night, no doubt.
I agree, and I'm glad you mentioned 1-11. Gosh, those guys, they gave me fits, and I'm trying to be as neutral as possible. That 11 made some incredible catches. 6'4" with this huge wingspan.
100%. Yeah, listen, I got three new gray hair streaks going down my right side. That kid had some incredible catches. I don't know who's getting him, but boy, he's got some wingspan, and he's got a great the ball. So yeah,
absolutely,
both of them. One as well, man. One was pretty dynamic as well. So anyways, great tandem. Great tandem receiver group.
I agree. All right, let's talk about that final drive. So Frontier comes back with those 21 points in the fourth quarter. A couple more gray hairs in that one. Hey, 3:45 left on the clock. You guys got to go down and score. Tie game. I was impressed with the poise from not only you and your coaching staff, but from the players on the field. You got a really good senior quarterback in Lucas Smith, but the poise, the calmness, the giving what's, taking what's been given to you guys. I mean, that was all on display, and you guys drove down the field and ended up with that touchdown pass to Sam. So just kind of walk us through that final drive, what was going through your mind and your ability to call plays and let the kids do what they do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've already faced this adversity at Redwood, so I think that helped out a lot. I think we knew what we had to do. Some of the offense out of sync stuff was just some operational stuff. Lucas got banged up on that play on his shin, and I think kind of we threw a little offense a little bit out of sorts, and then we got back to what we were going to do in the original plan of attack, and then we were right back to where we were in the first half. So, you know, for us, I think we all knew what we had to do. We had plenty of time to do so. So no one was really worried about. I think most of it was too was how do we manage the clock to make sure there's less time as possible to make sure 1-11 ain't on the field. So. We knew what we were going to do. We talked about it on the sidelines, and we went out and executed. And again, I looked at our O-line, and I just said, hey, this one, take over. Let's rock and roll. And I think they showcased how good that O-line has become. So
I agree. And the temptation is probably there just to throw the ball and go some quick outs and different things like that. But you guys ran the football really well in that final drive. I felt like, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, that you guys saved that sweep from Sam's for that last play, right? You might be tempted to run a play like that earlier in the football game. You're like, all right, we got him set up. Let's do it right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily was trying to save anything. I was, as the game goes, I'm using my eyes and my brain to call the best possible play. At the time, I thought we had a great opportunity to get a 10-5 kid on the edge and see what we could possibly do to get around the edges. So it worked, you know what I mean? So, it made us look really, really good. It's easy when you got a kid that fast, that electric, and just an incredible kid, to get him the ball. Makes us look really, really good as coaches when we have those guys. So,
yeah, talking about Tyree Sams headed to University of California. All right, but were you a little bit scared? You left too much time on the clock with those wide receivers. What, I think 1:17 left, and you probably were like, oh my gosh, if you just get that ball up in the air with a 6'4" kid, like I think you guys intercepted like the 2-yard line. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Well, we came down with it on the 2-yard line on that last kind of Hail Mary-ish type play. Yeah, I think, obviously there's like a mix there because, do you take the time off and you just leave it up to chance to not score or you just go score? I mean, I don't think anybody's ever like uber confident in the fact that I'm just going to score if I just go 3 more plays. You know what I'm saying? So for us, it was more of like, how do we methodically move the ball down the field and not get so pass happy and manage that 3:45 left and make sure we drain as much as we could off the clock. So, I don't think we were worried too much about at some level we knew we were going to go have to go play defense if we did our job on offense. So anyways, yeah, we were prepped for sure.
And you got a very capable place kicker as well. So you definitely that was definitely sure. In play. That was an option for you guys. We got about 5 more minutes here with Colby Hunter, the head coach at Clovis North. I want to go back a little bit to your senior quarterback, Lucas Smith. He made tons of plays. Sure. You talk about that that run that he had where he got the shin burger, and I called it a shin burger on air, and Coach Pat Hill was looking at me like, what the heck does that mean? That was a phrase I grew up with, right? We get hit on the shin, and it, right? So anyway,
yeah,
that's on air.
Your bike when it has the little spikes on the pedding, and you missed the pedal, and it just went right through your shin. You get a shin burger, man.
100%. There you go. You're on Team Shinburger. You know what that feels like. So yeah, but just
absolutely.
Talk about what he brings to the table. God, that kid has improved a lot since last year. And you're a quarterback guy. You're an offensive minded guy. So if you got to do it at quarterback, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Sure, I think Lucas has an electric arm, and he has a little bit of wiggle to him. I think just trying to get him to figure out how to play within the things that we do is always going to be a challenge, I think, for every coach. We just spent a lot of time over that 4 months, and Lucas is a really smart kid at football. Man, he's got a high IQ. He just needed a little bit of time to get that maybe unlocked. And give him some rhymes and some reasons and whys, so that way he could add the variable of the pass game to what he already kind of knew about the run game. And they did a great job before with that, so it was easy for that part to be established. But again, like I'm very grateful to have Lucas. I think he's been nothing but improving each and every week. I mean, I think everyone sees it. He's one of those kids, man, where if he doesn't get it right, it really affects him. And so he's learning from his own mistakes, I think, throughout the season. And that's the most valuable teacher, right? I mean, you learn from your own mistakes. And then on top of that, I think some of the explosive plays happening is getting his teammates around to get bought in and get excited. And, you know, that's leadership by example. That's leadership making plays and getting the guys going. Some of those runs he had last night, man, our sidelines and the stands were just going nuts. So anyways, I think he's done a great job. I think the task is getting tougher. So we have a lot to prove still. Obviously the track is no joke. So if we can keep the quarterback play at the level we're doing, throughout the track, then we got a chance. But there's a lot of good quarterbacks on the track. So.
No, there are for sure. And one moment really quick before I move on to the next question is I saw that fire in him, and you probably saw it too when he had to spike the ball. I think it was before the second half ended. He was pretty upset when he spiked the ball, man. I mean, that wasn't a spike. That was like an angry throwdown because he was mad at somebody and not getting set, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Right, that's 100% what happened. Yeah, we got a special call, obviously, for a spike in situations just like that. And I mean, he was hooting and hollering, but there you go. Like, that's some senior leadership. That's stuff you count on the field stuff that as a coach, I mean, the crowd's up. I can't really be, I'm not in the huddle, right? I'm not on the field. And so, you know, that's just great that we have that established, and I think this group, they can get after each other and they all respect each other. They've all played together for so long, from all the Fugmans and Bud Ranks and Mountain Views, and then they all played in the Stampede together, right? In the Pop Warner League. So these guys, man, they're bought into like making sure they keep each other accountable, which is really cool to see. It's very special. It's what's making this group great, I think. It's what's making them a special group.
Awesome. We got a couple minutes here with you, Colbs. You mentioned heading into track, right? So you're celebrating the win from Frontier, but hey, you got a short week. You got to turn around. You got to play the defending Central Section champs, Central East, on Thursday at Veterans. What are you looking forward to in that game, man? I mean, might as well start off with the defending champs, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, Biggs is an incredible coach. They have great players. You mix those two things together and you get what you've had for the last, decade or so of just great football by the Central East. I want to say Grizzlies, but I think
I know.
I get in trouble for that. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
It's so hard to make any sense. But anyways, I think, we have a task at hand and it's a great – I think the Clovis North and Central, regardless of who you are, has always been a great football game. And so I think we're looking for that. I think we're going to go in there and try to put our best foot forward. I'm sure Central's going to be hyped up and do their best. And I think people are going to get a good football game. And, you know, we'll prep, and I know Biggs will do a great job as well, and I'm excited for the game, though. Short week, man, that's the worst. Yeah. You can't really say who it plays best for. But we'll be ready, and I know Central will also be ready. So I expect that to be a definite game of the week again. So
I think every game in the track is going to be a game of the week. That's for sure. All right, Colby, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you. What do you got going for the rest of the Saturday? You got some soccer stuff to go to?
Oh, yeah, I got a 4 and a 2-year-old and another one on the way. So today is the 4-year-old's soccer game and his birthday at Me and Ed's Pizza. So I got a fun-filled day, and then I got to turn around and get on film and get ready to rock and roll for a short week. So,
a little time,
and then get after it. So, yeah.
That is a fantastic day. Huh? Yeah, fantastic day, right? Gotta love soccer and breaking down film, and especially after a win against a really good Frontier team. All right, thanks again, Coles, for coming on, man. We got to get you on again. We'll chop it up some more. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Paul, appreciate you. Have a great day, man.
All right. Colby Hunter, head coach at Clovis North. Again, good win last night. Fun game to cover and call. All right, we're going to take a break. We got George Takata. He is here at First String Sports. Man, we're going to talk about all things Central Valley. You're listening to it all in the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports. Well, they will definitely hook you up with all your Letterman's jacket needs, man. This is the coolest room to do a high school sports radio show. Got the neon sign right in front. Chop it up about high school sports for 2 hours. My gosh, why would you not want to listen to this show? Just had a great conversation with Colby Hunter from Clovis North. Great win from them over Frontier. Andrew Pancotti before that from McLean.
And now the show takes a downturn.
Come on, stop. You are live here on air. You literally come into First Ring. It's not a phone call, right? I mean,
no.
I get the full George Takata experience right in front of me.
Yeah, sorry about that, Paul.
I'm not. I love talking with you every year.
It's our annual interview.
You come in. I'm always curious what you're going to be rocking, right? So you got your Reedley College football shirt.
Built different. 1-3.
You have
it's old.
Okay, and you got some Reedley shorts. It's like
Reedley Tigers. Yeah, we got a big game today. It's homecoming against the San Jose City. We're both 1-3. We won last week in overtime over Shasta, 35-34. So we did play San Mateo, the number one team, the defending state champion, and the number one team in the state this year. Lost only 24-7, played really tough. Fresno City has them today.
Okay.
So, but now homecoming, hopefully we can get a win, go to 2-3, entering league, got a bye next week, so it'll be good to get some momentum.
So a lot of people, George, if you run into them around town, are they still surprised that you work at Reedley College? Are people still think you're in the biz, so to speak?
Like, well, you know, it's still in the biz a little bit.
You are, yeah, KMJ.
Yeah.
You're KMJ. I hear that every once in a while.
Every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then, yeah.
It's not that people ask that. It's now they ask, how long have you been at Reedley College? And I say, well, I'm going on 8 years.
Eight.
And they can't believe that. Like November 30th will be the 8-year anniversary. And it really has – time has really flown on that. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'm glad I made the change.
Director of Marketing and Communications.
Sounds very prestigious, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you know what? I think, George, I think the reason why people are like, what, 8 years? And they ask you, you know, do you miss, you know, being in the biz or whatever, all that cliche stuff is
– right.
Because we've kind of grown alongside you, so to speak. Like, you know, we're about the same age. So, mm-hmm. I mean, God, I remember George Takata on, you know, doing the sports broadcast and all that stuff at Cellin Arena, you know, in Fresno State basketball, Tark and all. We've grown alongside you, right? And so, like, George, you're getting old. I'm getting old with you.
Thanks,
like,
Paul.
That's kind of how we look at life now, right?
It's true.
It is true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
There's no lies detected with that. All right, so is this kind of your favorite time of year? You'd love this time, baseball playoffs, next week.
Yep.
In the middle of college football, NFL, what are we at? Week four? Week yep. five? I don't know.
We're starting to talk about the NBA. Training camp's about to start. Yep. All that. This is a really good time of year because everything's going on. I think hockey's going to start soon. We got Ryder Cup going on right now. Like you mentioned, college football, there's a big game that I got to watch today. Georgia, Alabama, and Athens. I got my Georgia hat on. Girlfriend, big Georgia fan. Her family's from that area. So I like a different breed of dogs as well as my Fresno State Bulldogs. So we're pretty pumped up about that. So, yeah, it is a great time of year with the NFL going and the hype with baseball playoffs. Aaron Judge just hit another homer. I heard that on the SportsCenter update. So it's a lot of fun. I wish my A's were involved in this playoff hunt, but that's just the way it goes. It's kind of an annual thing now that they're not.
Are the A's and right? I mean, how do you even put in perspective this season? Right, you hear about the stadium and I mean all that junk, right? Like
they've had a great year offensively,
right?
They have a lot of young talent: Nick Kurtz, Jacob Wilson, Tyler Soderstrom, the kid from Turlock, Lawrence Butler, Brent Rooker's hitting the ball, Shea Langeliers, power hitting catcher. I think he's got 35 homers now. I mean, they can really hit it. They can mash it. They can get some pitching. They do have a couple of young guys. They have Severino. So we'll see if they can turn the corner and make a playoff run next year. I hope so.
Did you go to any games?
Nope.
I know, right? You hear, okay, Sacramento's
I don't like the owners,
though. Yeah, okay. All right, so it's your own personal boycott.
Yeah, I mean, I love Sacramento. Like, that's my second home. Yeah. I'm really happy that they're renting the A's. I mean, I wish they were in Oakland first and foremost, but if there's any city that's going to be hosting them in this transition period for them to go to Vegas, I'm glad it's Sac. But no, I haven't been to a game. Andrew Martin's got my old buddy and partner in crime at CBS 47's got a whole bunch of Ricky Henderson swag promotional items for me that I need to get from him. But I'm happy that they're there. But they're playing in a AAA stadium. It doesn't meet the standards. I'm sure everyone in the league is making fun of it when they visit. The Royals are there now. I'm sure they're having fun with it and making fun of the clubhouse and the media area and all that stuff. But it's just the way it is. But they're building a beautiful stadium in Vegas and should be ready by 2029 when I'm really old.
And Vegas, right? You're a Raiders through and through. It doesn't matter what city they're playing in, right?
No,
you're a Raiders guy.
That
doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't matter with the A's either, you know? Yeah. I thought I would hate it and go be a Yankees fan, but couldn't get out of my system. So so here we are.
Since we are, you know, quote-unquote, a high school radio show,
yeah.
how much do you follow high school sports? Even back in your day, right, you loved some of those Clovis West teams that you're able to follow, but – like, even nowadays, how you just kind of check things every once in a while, check the Twitter sphere, and, like, how involved are you in high school stuff?
Not really much football. More basketball because I still help Adrian Wiggins at Clovis East. I'm really in tune with the track with basketball, you know. And it's always the same. I mean, Clovis North and Clovis West always kind of lead the way, and Clovis East kind of the middle of the pack. Central's been there up and down. Clovis and Buchanan. Buchanan's on the rise.
Yeah.
Clovis has struggled a little bit, but I know basketball a little bit more than I do football. But, you know, it's funny, Paul. It's the same schools that are performing really well. You know, Clovis North, Central East, the Bengals. You know, you mentioned Kyle Biggs, and they got North, what, next week?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a marquee matchup when I was a sportscaster 9 years ago. Or 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. So it's the usual suspects, I think, most of the time. San Joaquin Memorial as well. I know Clovis West has kind of been up and down. So, but I don't follow as much as I used to. I got too much going on at Reedley College. But high school basketball is something that I'm more familiar with.
Well, there's quite a few kids on the Reedley College roster that are Valley guys.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's
the
a
roster's
few.
Loaded.
Yeah.
With a lot of local kids. So I think it was there's a kid from Carruthers who scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime. I forget
Hunter
his name.
Babb?
Yeah, Hunter Babb. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. You know it better than I do. Jose Soriano is from Madera South. He's our quarterback. One of our wide receivers, I think, went to Central. So we do have a lot. Went to Hanford. He caught a 65-yard touchdown that I was lucky to get caught on camera last week. So we do have a lot of local talent on our team, and so does Fresno City. So it's really nice to see those high school kids gravitate to the next level and perform well.
Who are some of your favorite guys that you followed either in high school or Bulldog? I know you mentioned Aaron Judge, but mm-hmm. then you followed in the pros that you're just like locked into. Who, like maybe even
right
saw
now
some,
or even back in the
well,
day?
Well, yeah, Either way, but guys that you covered in high school or college that are making an impact at the pro level.
Oh, well, I mean, I was really lucky with my career. I started with David Carr, ended with Derek. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I had Aaron Judge and Paul George and Devontae Adams and Tyler Johnson and Jeff Weaver, Adam Pettyjohn, all those guys in between. The Tark days, Pat Hill, Margie Wright, Dennis DeLito. I had covered Rex Hudler. I covered, a lot of great Coach Watney's teams. But, from high school, moving on to the pros, Ricky Manning's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Just talked to him yesterday. He did a little he was with the Patriots over during training camp doing a little, internship, if you will, after he got let go by the Raiders. He wants to get back into the NFL next year and talk to him about that. But he's one. Billy Volek from Clovis West to Fresno State to the league. Doing well with the Titans, and backed up the Chargers and won that playoff game with the Colts. I get excited for all those guys, and not just the superstar guys, but the guys who, like Billy, was kind of a career backup, and then really when he had his moment, he was lights out and led them to a playoff win. And then Philip Rivers came back the following week when Billy probably should have played again. But I really like all those. I'm a big advocate of watching these guys grow. Bryson DeChambeau, you see him at Clovis East, and now look at him. It's unbelievable. Josh Allen, I didn't cover him in high school, but he had him at Reedley College the week before he got drafted, and he's just been just a first-class kid, and his parents were really nice, signed every autograph and took every picture, and to watch him gravitate to be the league MVP, married to a movie star, he's on the cover of the Madden game, he does Snickers commercials, what the heck? Like, it's just unbelievable with the amount of talent that we've seen from this area move up to be not just professional athletes, but the best professional athletes in some of the best pro athletes in the world. And we're talking about Aaron Judge. He's probably, arguably, with Ohtani, the best baseball player in the world. Josh Allen's probably the best quarterback in the world. Bryson DeChambeau is one of the top golfers in the world. They're all from here. It's amazing. It's amazing how you can see these guys grow up and become the young men and women that they are today.
Do you think those guys ever had a chip on their shoulder? Like, hey, we're kind of disrespected a little bit from being the Central Valley. We're not SoCal. We're not NorCal. We're not Florida. We're not Texas, man. We're Valley dudes. Do you think guys like that have always had a little chip on their shoulder?
Yeah, bring your hard hat and lunch pail to work. I want to mention Jenna Prandini. Seeing her grow from high school and a state champion to become an Olympian, shout out to her, and Amanda Scott, Jamie Southern, all those young ladies too, who I watched in high school, covering high school, and then they dominate the college level.
The Fresno Hall of Fame does an amazing job. Go back and just study that stuff. There are so many people that I don't even know about deeply. Gosh, Tom Seaver, right? Sure. Matt Giordano. I mean, I could go down.
Matt Giordano's another one.
Yeah,
it's just a stud, And then Coach Buchanan.
Yeah,
and play with the Raiders, led the team in interceptions 1 year when we were really bad. But that makes the job that I had, even though I didn't get the salary that I was, that I wanted or deserved or whatever you want to call it. Those moments make it worth it. Just seeing the growth and the maturation of these young men and women and watch them shine on the big stage is really cool.
What was the best conversation or moment you've had with any of those people? Even Tark, I know you hosted that podcast, it's a radio show with Tark. Stories of the 2 years with him. I love those stories. But, is there one thing that pops in your mind, maybe even a compliment or, somebody gave you a hug? I don't know,
that. Pat Hill was my – Gary Selzy and Pat Hill are my favorites. And I can say this now, but Pat Hill had piranha in his aquarium in his coach's office, and that was probably not legal to have that. So one time he came up to – after they won the MPC Computers Bowl against Virginia, he had a news conference, season-ending news conference. He's in a great mood. He brings me up to his office, no cameraman. He's like, come on up here. Call me Georgie all the time, which I think is your daughter's
name.
It is,
my oldest daughter.
And so, Georgie, come on up. And I see that. I'm like, what's that? I pointed at the piranha. Hey, don't worry about that. and he goes back in the day, his answering machine, listen to this. And it was this voice, gruff voice, kind of deep. Coach, great bleep and win. You really did a great job. Really proud of all of the things you've done over there in Fresno. I look forward to talking to you about your kids right when we hit draft. Have a great off season and call me back. Bill Belichick shared that with me. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's really nice of you to bring me up here to share that. He was just so excited. He wanted to share that answering machine message with somebody. And I guess I was the lucky one. Of course, he was an assistant coach with the Browns when Belichick was there. And Nick Saban was on that staff, too. And so that was a really cool moment. Coach Hill always gave me great moments like that. He's fantastic.
You didn't wrap around like, hey, that's cool. Cool that Coach Belichick just sent you a message. But what about that piranha sitting there? cool story. Yeah. About this fish.
He let me look at a little feeding time. He showed me that. I've been up to his office a couple times, but you know that was always kind of like, don't tell anybody that they're up here. but that it was kind of funny. I was like, well, how did you sneak him in? I had all these questions that I didn't get answered, but that's cool.
Pat Hill's one. He's a one of one.
He's
sure.
Fantastic. I know you do high school football.
Every time I'm sitting next to him, I mean, it's just I can't believe it. I got to pinch myself sometimes. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, don't say something stupid. Don't say something stupid on air.
Well, it's how I felt when I did the radio show with Coach Tarkanian. Like, am I really sitting here next to him doing this? And I never booked guests. He did.
Yeah.
And we would always, it would be 5 minutes before a show, we'd have a guest. I'm like, Coach, you know, what's going on? Well, I'm waiting for a call back from Mike Krzyzewski. He should be calling. I was like, we don't have any guests. It's just going to be you and me BSing if they don't call back. Sure enough, you know, he'd get three guests for the, you know, hour and a half we were on. But they were always last minute. Digger Phelps last minute. Billy Packer last minute. Bobby Knight last minute. But he made it work. I was just happy to be there.
Were you able to get any questions in, or was it Tark dominated?
With Coach Knight. They were, you know, how's the wife? How's the kids? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are we going to talk about, basketball? And so I chimed in. I kind of pointed at Coach Tark that I wanted to ask a question, and I asked Coach Knight a question. And Coach Knight said, who are you? I was like, I'm the co-host. Like, sorry, but I have a question.
Is this intern week here at the radio station? What's going on here?
But those moments like that, I'll never forget, you know, and Coach Tarkanian and Coach provide a lot of those for me.
Good days, good days. And good days seem to be happening for the football team at Fresno State, all right? 4-1, you know, that we all watched that first game against Kansas. And we're like, oh, my gosh, are we in over our heads? We're getting mauled here. Are we not that physical? We were promised a physical team. Won 4 in a row. Obviously, schedule a little bit different. Great win against Hawaii. Where are you at with the Bulldogs right
They're
now?
They're right where I thought they would be, hitting this bye week. 4-1. I didn't think they were going to beat Kansas. Implementing a new quarterback in week one against a team like that is not going to be easy, and that's exactly what happened. And then they ran off these four straight wins. I knew I had a strong feeling they were going to beat Oregon State, and they did. Mm-hmm. EJ Warner's kind of settling in now. It's nice when you get four touchdown passes, I think, against Southern.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of really put him in a nice little comfort zone now. And then when they went to the island and got that win, EJ was very efficient. And I just think now that they're going to get into a really nice groove here. Got a nice break. I think they should beat Nevada. I don't think they're very good. So be 5-1 and 2-0 in the conference to start things out would be excellent. But, 4-1 is where I thought they'd be. The defense is playing really well, too.
Real well. I saw it in Hawaii. Obviously, they had to make a play at the end of the game to preserve the win. But defensively, right, like I feel like they're flying to the football. We're seeing schematically, right, some different things from the last couple of years that I like.
It's that Northern Illinois influence.
You're
with
exactly
the coaching
right.
staff.
You're
you know?
Exactly right.
You can't beat them, join them. Yeah. If you can't beat them, hire them.
Hire them. Get them over here to Fresno, California. Do you enjoy that style of football that you think Coach Entz is bringing, right? I mean, it can be, we like passing. We like offense. We like deep ball. Like, that stuff's pretty exciting. But what wins football games, right? I mean, trenches and all that stuff. But, I mean, do you enjoy watching a really well-oiled football team that does a little bit of everything really well?
Paul, I like winning football.
There you go. Okay.
And so if it's Derek to Devontae and scoring 55 points, I'm cool with that. If it's 23-21 to win on the island in a tough environment, I'm all for that too. I really like what Coach Entz is doing. I mean, not that the Bulldog teams weren't tough before, but they look really tough on defense this year. I really like Speedy, Luke. Yeah. And Donaldson, they're a really good 1-2 punch. Gilliam's kind of been lost in the shuffle, but, if you're going to run the ball and throw for 200 yards and a couple touchdowns and just win the battle in the trenches all the time and eliminate penalties and cut down your turnovers and score 20 points a game and be 10-1, I'm all for that too. Like, you know, clean football, mistake-free football as much as it can possibly be. You know, I like it. I like this brand. I mean, I'm still entertained. I mean, this is Kurt Warner's son is our quarterback. So it's nice to get the publicity from Kurt Warner on X or Twitter or whatever you call it. But yeah, it's fine with me. I'll watch it from start to finish. It doesn't matter. I've watched bad Raider football from start to finish, Paul. So I'm a glutton for punishment with that. So I'll watch it regardless because it is my school. But if it's a winning formula, it doesn't matter what it is.
Do you go to games or you go to every game? You got season tickets? How do you get
Bulldogs?
Yeah.
No, I haven't been to one yet. We're gonna go to the next home game, I think. Definitely want to go to a couple. But, you know, I go to every Reedley home game.
Yeah. When you watch games, like, gosh, throughout your career, like, would you throw – I mean, I was kind of a throw – like, when things want to go your way, if you've got a water bottle nearby, right? Mm-hmm. You know, sports can break our hearts, rip them out sometimes. How intense are you watching games?
Terribly intense. I scare my dog all the time.
All right.
If it's my team – I'm standing up most of the time. My dog looks at me like, oh, God, I'm going to the other room. He starts to shake. It's really bad, you know, because I get
You're
mad.
Not proud of yourself afterwards.
Not proud at all. But it's passion. But, you know, and some with my teams lately, it's been more of disappointment and you know, unhappiness than jumping for joy, you know. Thankfully, I've got the Georgia Bulldogs now, and they don't lose too much. So I'm happy about that.
The former school of Kendall Milton.
Kendall Milton, that's right. Is he still with the Bengals practice squad?
Yeah, he is. And Adrian Martinez, our guy, you know, he's elevated to number two last week.
There was
a chance. I don't know if you watched the game.
I
watched it, right? And, right, Mac Jones was hobbling for a second.
Like, let's go, Adrian!
And they went to that quick shot of Adrian. They said, Adrian Martinez is the number two quarterback. Yeah. And he's like, this might be my chance.
I think Mac is a little banged up. He might be number two again leading up to this for Brock Purdy, but
yeah.
I think Jones would be good to go if he had to play. But it's just fun to see him on the sideline in a 49er helmet. No, that's another example right there of a kid that I covered when he was in high school, and then you watch him go to Nebraska and then K-State, and then I think he was World League MVP, and Tom Brady hands him the MVP trophy. Like, what a cool moment. Doesn't get much better than that. Then he's on, you know, in training camp with, I think, Detroit.
Went with Detroit first.
Yeah.
And then the Jets. Then the UFL.
Yeah, the UFL.
And then the Jets.
And then the Jets. And now he's with San Francisco, and he almost got in. Imagine Adrian Martinez handing off to Christian McCaffrey and throwing to Ricky Pearsall. It was just crazy to me. He was such a great kid. His family's awesome. And I had him on radio shows before, and he's just I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he gets an opportunity, but that would mean Brock Purdy or Mac Jones gets hurt, but maybe he'll get a shot down the road somewhere.
I think it's going to happen.
I think
this year it's going to happen. He's going to get some snaps.
Think so, huh?
And that would have, obviously, last week was a meaningful football game. It was a really good football game. He could have had extremely meaningful snaps.
Well, I mean, they're playing a bad team tomorrow.
Jacksonville.
Let's hope it's 41-0 and he'll get in at the end of the game.
All right, we got to definitely check Twitter and see if Adrian's the number two quarterback.
We'll see.
And if Brock Purdy, you know, if they bring him out, if they want to, you know, keep him healthy, Adrian might get some snaps.
Yeah, I think with Brock Purdy's health, if they have a big lead, they're going to take him out. Like, they have so many injury issues right now. Like, I don't think they would take a chance on leaving him in if it's well handled.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Early.
All right, a little bit of Raiders talk. Where are you at with the Raiders? You know, some expectations coming in. Geno Smith, new coaching staff, new philosophy, right? I mean, where are you at right now with that?
I wanted 9-8, and I'd be happy.
Okay.
So I didn't think they were going to beat the Chargers. I knew they had a chance against the Patriots. But this Commanders thing I thought was going to be an L regardless. But it's just the way they're losing. They gave up 200 yards rushing, gave up a 60-yard touchdown run to a third-string running back. Their special teams was terrible. Deebo Samuel returned that opening kickoff, 69, 70 yards. They gave up a 90-yard punt return. They gave up way too many big plays, and Jaden Daniels didn't even play. Marcus Mariota was running the show, and he had a great game. You know, Geno Smith had a couple of garbage touchdowns at the end. Their running game hasn't gotten going yet. Their offensive line is terrible because they moved Jackson Powers Johnson, where he was a Remington Award winner at center in college at Oregon. Now he's playing guard, and they moved Jordan Meredith to center. It's just been a mess. And Pete Carroll was sticking to his guns and not moving JPJ back to center. I mean, it starts at the line. Ashton Jeanty is getting hit at the line of scrimmage before he can even move forward. And it's amazing he even has positive yardage this year. I just think that they're doing Jeanty a disservice by not having a decent line for him. And they probably should have drafted offensive line looking back on it. And then one of those running backs later, like Hampton or someone else. But I'm glad the Raiders have Jeanty. But they really have to make life a lot easier for him. Like, he's not getting any holes
at all. He's getting hit at the line. He's bouncing off a little bit. His yards are all after that first contact.
Yep. Yeah. That just says you have a bad offensive line. So do I think that they could win tomorrow? Yeah, I think they could beat the Bears tomorrow. But last time the Bears played the Raiders, I was at that game. It was John Gruden's last game. I was there with my buddy CJ. And 70%, maybe 60 to 70% of the crowd was Chicago fans. So it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know, they treat it like a vacation coming over here, like every opposing team's fan base does when they go to Vegas. And it's either 50-50 or sometimes the other team's fans – you know, outnumber the Raider fans. And I think there's going to be a ton of Bears fans there again.
So, probably, right? It's a destination place.
Definitely.
Of course.
I think the Raiders can win the game, but I think it's going to be close because they never make it easy.
Is it, what time's kickoff?
One.
Is it the 125
kind of thing? The 125 or 110 or 105.
Yeah, when did that become a thing, 125 stuff?
We're going to kick off at 128.
Yeah, 128.
In 10 seconds. I don't know. But probably it's, you know, they wait for the early games to finish. And then
the witching hour.
Yeah, the witching hour is
right, the 10 o'clock game
on the red zone. I hope for 9 wins. I think they're going to be 7-10. Best case scenario for the Raiders for me is 9-8 because they have too many holes. Obviously, the secondary, the offensive line, you know, Christian Wilkins, you know, that disaster in the offseason. So they have a hole at defensive tackle, at least the quality of player. They don't have someone like Wilkins anymore. The linebacker's a little older. Receivers are young. So they've got a long way to go.
This conversation turned to Raiders talk a little bit. Frustrations from a Raiders fan with George Cicada.
Don't get me started.
I kind of did. I'm not regretting it. All right, a couple names really quick. So Jalen Johnson, Xavier Worthy, Torrey Horton.
Torrey Horton.
Gosh, right, good stuff from our Valley guys.
Great receivers.
Too.
It's the next level of superstars coming from this area.
Yeah.
And those three play the same position. So
and there's a quarterback at Clovis West that is going to be a high level recruit as well. JJ Howard.
Heard his name a couple times.
Yeah.
The young guns, you know, and I think Deron Bland is still kind of young, got that contract extension. So I look at the next wave of the young talent coming in with the league, and you mentioned those three dudes and Torrey Horton and his 95-yard punt return and his touchdown catch in the same game for Seattle against New Orleans. It's too bad that Jalen McMillan and Xavier Worthy have been hurt, and Worthy's coming back, I think, tomorrow. But Jalen's out because he banged his neck in the preseason. But those three guys, I mean, they've all been so much fun to watch. You know, Jalen Johnson, Chicago, he's not playing tomorrow either, I don't think. The Bears defense is banged up. But the next wave of talent in the pros is – you know, it's coming on strong, and Bryson's still young, too. You know, it's funny, like Aaron Judge is in his 30s, Devontae's in his 30s, but here comes the next wave. You know, Jalen Green with Phoenix now, and there's always someone to cover.
Yeah.
And they're always doing it at a high level, and it's fun to watch.
All right, about 3 minutes with you, George. Okay, collecting-wise, where are we at? I see you at shows, right? George, you're going to be there? Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, what are you buying these days?
I just buy – I buy for my personal collection. I don't buy to sell again. So my personal collection is the Marcus Allen, Ricky Henderson, Mitch Richmond cards, and then the local guys. Unfortunately, the local guys are the expensive guys.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge, Devontae cards, one of ones, autos, patches, number to 25, Paul George cards, the Carr brothers, any local guy, Josh, even Bryson DeChambeau has Prism now. There's a show, Arena Club show, downtown Fresno, going on this weekend. I help host a Southpaw sports card show at the Clovis Rodeo Grounds. It's been very successful. I think we have the best sports card show in the Valley. Next one's January 3rd, Clovis Rodeo Grounds, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mark it on your calendars, everybody. I love it. You know, it was a hobby that I shared with my mother growing up, and so – that's where the passion comes from. You know, my mom's not with us anymore, but when I collect cards, I think of her and collecting, building sets and putting them in binders and all that stuff. So I really enjoy it. You know, you collect too. You collect a lot of things.
Star I do, Wars. Yeah. Same thing with you, right? My dad passed away. My dad and I collected cards too. Heck, my dad and I used to do shows in the late 80s together, right? So I'm back in collecting some of the, you know, junk wax era cards, which are fun. It brings up good memories as well.
The old school stuff. It's a lot of fun. Fun hobby, expensive hobby. You know, I'm on Whatnot way too much.
Oh, gosh.
You know, we started $1. This Xavier Worthy Prism Rainbow Superstar number 10.
And all of a sudden, it's up to 128
bucks. Yeah, it's up to 128 bucks.
You thought you could get it for 30.
And dang, I got to take money out of my savings for that. No, I'm just kidding. It's a fun hobby, but it's a very expensive hobby. I feel sorry for this generation.
Right?
The kids that start off. I mean, your parents got to have some pretty good chunk of change to help you get started these days. Because now there's cases and, you know, the price of these cards that are so high. For a pack of four cards, it's 10 bucks. Like, it's stupid.
And then – really quick, I mean, the Josh Allen, Aaron Judge, unfortunately, they started off their careers pretty darn well, so their cards were never cheap.
No, if you were lucky to get them in packs.
Yeah, you got to pull something.
I've got like 8 Judge Autos, though, that pulled in packs, but I spent a lot of money on packs. Just before I met my girlfriend, so it's all good. and I have a dual auto of Taylor Ward and Aaron Judge. Taylor Ward is another guy who's up with 36 homers. His batting average is in the 220s, but he has 103 ribbies. Having a career year. So he and Judge, at one point, I tweeted this, had a combined 212 ribbies and 80-plus home runs this year. And when all is said and done on Sunday, you know, those numbers will have grown. But I'm really happy for Taylor Ward. He's done a lot of great things this year.
Good guys, good stuff, fun players to follow. Hey, yeah. George, always awesome catching up with you, man.
This, happy to fill the time, Paul.
You do not fill time, man. This is called content extraordinaire. That's what this is called.
Well, it's always fun. You can have me on any time, and I appreciate everything you do for the high school sports community. I know they do, and it's a lot of fun hearing your show every weekend.
Hey, you're a listener? Makes me feel good.
I got stickers and hats and shirts and everything.
All right, good stuff, Georgie. All right, appreciate you as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, Dave Wilson, the head coach of Kingsburg High, he's been here waiting around. I think he's buying a bunch of stuff. So, man, bring coaches and guys in, and they spend money here at First String Sports.
It's a win-win. They got pickleball stuff here?
Probably.
All right.
Or at least they can order it.
At least they can
order it for you. All right, we'll take a break here, and we'll bring up Coach Wilson in just a second on 1430 ESPN. Coming in with Van Halen, coming in hot. Right, coming in hot. You got Dave Wilson, head coach at Kingsburg High. I'm trying to maximize my seconds with Coach Wilson. I knew with George Takata, who's just on right now, if I just mention the word Raiders, I'm going to get 7 minutes, right? It's like, okay, do I even go there with George? And yeah, sure enough, but George is awesome. He's amazing.
Well, I had a rough time with my Commanders last weekend, so I wish I
could
have got
in on
that.
That's right. What's a guy in California doing? You know, rooting for a Washington
team. Long story.
It is a long story. I think I've heard the story. I know the story. Yeah. Hey, so thanks for driving up.
Yeah.
From K-Town.
Thanks for having me.
But this is a business trip as well, right? You just made a big purchase?
Yeah.
Your First String Sports?
Had to get the old son's Letterman jacket.
The third Kingsburg Vikings Letterman jacket that you've purchased?
Yeah. So last one for us.
And he didn't even come in here to size it. How did you know what size to buy him?
You know what? That was kind of our conversation on the way up here. He wasn't real motivated, so he tried on his sister's.
Okay.
And we kind of based it from there.
Went off there.
Yeah. So he's actually, I will give him credit. Him and a few of the guys are throwing the ball right now. So
they're trying
to sharpen up some skills. So I wasn't going to criticize him.
All right. So the third one you bought here, if you didn't come here this morning, if you weren't booked on the show, would you have still bought one? That's my question.
Yeah.
Oh, you still would have? Because I wanted some commission from First String Sports because you came in and you bought it here.
Well, this is the bye week. And
The bye week.
Yeah, and my wife. Literally, yeah. No, my wife, we thought about getting out of town, and then I told her, hey, I'm on the Paul Metter show. And so she's like, well.
All right, you're making a date of it.
Yeah, we're going to go to lunch after this, and we thought, hey, let's buy the Letterman jacket. It all worked out.
Good stuff. All right, win-win for everybody again. Yeah. All right, so let's talk some football. Let's talk some Viking football. Mm-hmm. Bye week this week, we were able to scout CBC Mission Prep. CBC looked really good, you said. But Sanger, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guys, shut them out. First time, I did some research for you. Did a little work for you. First time Sanger has been shut out since 2022.
Oh, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
And you guys took care of business, 14-0.
Yeah.
Just kind of game plan, what was working. Just walk us through that game a little
bit. Well, I mean, our kids were highly motivated, and we're real confident with our defensive line, you know, led by our senior captain, Emilio Ayala. And they came out ready to play. We challenged them all week that if we were going to be able to beat Sanger, we're going to have to play well in the trenches. And so that was kind of our message. And those guys answered the call, man. And I think Sanger had a couple big runs in that first drive. And then we made an adjustment. My defensive staff, led by Coach Musselman and his crew, and that was it, man. I mean, when you can get against those running sort of wing T teams, if you can penetrate and cause havoc right behind the quarterback, it makes it real tough for them. And we were able to do that. And guys made a few plays, obviously. Got a little lucky. They missed a couple field goals, you know. And before you know it, you're kind of looking up at the scoreboard. It's like they haven't scored yet. And and that's a tough Sanger team. I mean, they came in, other than Clovis East, they were scoring 30-plus points against Hanford, Lemoore. And so we knew they could do it. They had a couple really explosive players on their team. And,
Was there a point, though, Coach, where you're like, God, we are not only matching them physically, but we're handling them? Like, is there a play or, like, a certain player you're like, man, did we just drug that guy down? We just game-tagged
that guy?
Well,
I'll be honest with you. I've never coached against Coach Logue and felt comfortable
throughout
the whole game. But, yeah, there was about a moment early in the fourth where we held him again on fourth down, and you just could sort of see, the Sanger players – they were frustrated, you know, and that's a sign for us. It's kind of like, oh no, you know, their shoulders start to slump a bit walking off the field, and our guys were just playing lights out. I mean, the stars aligned, I guess, if you want to say so. I mean, but I do want to give them, our boys, credit. I mean, they came out and we knew it was a challenge, and the way the game went, it was nice because we only scored two touchdowns. So
yeah.
I mean,
you made a stand up.
Yeah. So
I want to go back to that. Week 2, August 29th, Clovis East.
Sure.
Right? And Track School, you guys played them last year at their place, and we know the great season they had. And coming to your place. But you guys were up 10-6. Your quarterback, unfortunately, got hurt. You had to, you know, didn't have his services in the second half. But what did you learn from the team after that game?
I learned a lot. And it was a similar feeling going into the Sanger game. I think at Kingsburg now, you know, we're kind of – I don't want to ever say we get used to playing against big schools, but we do it routinely now. And so it's become sort of an expectation. And after going over to Clovis East last season and just kind of getting just demolished, you know, you could tell some of the seniors coming in kind of had a little bit of a chip, you know. And my message that week was just, let's play well. Like, you know, let's not worry about winning right now. Let's just go out there and see if we can play with these guys. And you could just see the confidence build from the first play. And like you said, we were beating them 10-6, and it is frustrating. I mean, it's a good Clovis East team. I don't want to take anything away from them, but I felt like we kind of had them on the ropes a bit. And obviously Cade going down at the end of the first half knew it was going to put a little wrinkle. I have a lot of confidence in our backup quarterback, David Muxlow. But you know how it is. You only have so much time at practice, and so David didn't get a ton of reps. And just to kind of throw him in there against what I believe is one of the top defenses
Absolutely.
In the Valley,
yep.
It was tough. I appreciated the effort by the whole team, though. It wasn't like we got frustrated and just kind of gave up. They hit on a couple big plays and made a couple big plays on defense, and kind of that game got away from us. But you walked away feeling good, you know, if that's possible, even though you lost, you know, thinking, wow, this team can do some things. And so that same team kind of showed up against Sanger, and I'm like, that's the team I want to see.
that's right. So again, the bye week this week, you got, how about these first three games here? Looking at this, Coach, you got Washington Union, who beat Justin Garza, right? And you got CBC, who you watched last night, and then you got Kerman, and I got that game highlighted for a reason. We're going to be broadcasting that game.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, we just made a little switcheroo. That's at your place. Mm-hmm. So 1430 ESPN is going to be there for that game. Right, I mean, gosh, that's three really tough teams to start off league.
A lot of pride in our league, you know. The TCC Kings Division is a tough one. And, yeah, we kind of have the gauntlet right away. You know? So it was nice to have a bye. But, yeah, Washington Union, tons of athleticism, big play capabilities. CVC.
You got them away, too.
Yeah, and their record's definitely a little bit of a facade. You know,
misnomer.
They're much better than that record that they have, and I saw that firsthand last night. They run the ball really well. They're always big, you know, and they have a couple athletes that really run the ball well. So that's always a challenge. And then Kerman, of course, their quarterback's really good, and Coach Jenkins does a great job there. So, yeah, and, you know, I don't want to discount Reedley. You know, they play well, too. They got a win last night, I think, against Mount Whitney.
They did. They came back.
And so, you know, that's why we do the non-league we do. We're hoping that prepares us to, as we get into our league play, that, you know, we're ready for these challenges. And we've stayed pretty much healthy since that Clovis East game, so. You know, the boys are fired up.
And is your rivalry game, is it Selma? Like, when you look at that list, and you're a Kingsburg grad as well, so you've played, you know, you played Dinuba earlier this year. But, like, who's the juice game?
Selma's always a rivalry game. It's just by proximity, by historical preferences, you know. Obviously, you know, Selma's had their ups and downs, and they're much better. But, you know, it's one of those things. Our league is – sort of been intact even since our old CSL days, that you know, each game kind of has a little bit of a rivalry to it in some ways. Obviously CVC, we've competed with them for so long for the league championship, you know, for a long time, until Kerman got a share of it with us and CVC last year. It was us and them for the longest time. You know, you throw in a little Dinuba when they were in it, and so that's turned into one. Of course, you have a lot of people. We have Grace Church of the Valley in our town, which is a Kingsburg church, but it's very much a Valley church. You get a lot of Visalia people that come
right off the freeway.
That. Yeah, and so there's that happens, you know, outside of the team itself.
A lot of CBC Kingsburg mixing in churches, I found.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And so
beat each other up on a Saturday or Friday, and then go to church on Sunday.
Yeah. And so that definitely, of course, has turned into you know, competition creates rivalries, of course.
True story. Selma, maybe as a player or as a coach, like, do you guys have like this car that you would? Why am I misremembering something?
A car
that you would buy and then take a sledgehammer to?
Oh, yeah, no. We do all the traditional things.
Oh, that's still
Selma.
Going.
Yeah, we usually bring a car on campus. We do a downtown rally. We play for a fire extinguisher.
Okay.
The quick story on that, I may not get it exactly correct, so Doug Davis will have to correct me when I get back. But in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a game between Kingsburg and Selma. It was a JV game. In our old stadium, a transformer had caught one of the trees on fire during the JV game, and the fire truck ran over there and put it out, and they just kept playing. And so after that, our boosters, along with the Selma boosters, got together, and we have this old big fire extinguisher that they bronzed and has all the name placards on it. What, the scores.
So, like, does it have the year and then who won the game, that kind of thing?
Uh-huh. And so it's kind of neat, you know.
So you guys have it right now?
Yeah, we have it. If you win the game, you get to keep it. And fortunately for us, we've kept it for a little while.
Is it in, like, the district office?
Yeah, usually it's in the office. I've had it in my classroom, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but the last time I saw it, it was in the bus garage, because I think the janitors picked it up after the game, and I haven't went over and got it. That is kind of embarrassing, but it's around. It's definitely there. It'll get polished up here.
Nowadays,
quick.
If that would have happened, they would have had to evacuate.
And
the game would have been postponed.
They would have postponed.
Not
back in those days.
I think there's a fire over there. It's kind of creeping towards the stadium. Okay, we got third down and seven.
That according to what I was told. Now, I was a very, very small child when this happened. That's kind of the tradition. Even if there's a fire doesn't end this rivalry. We just keep playing.
what is, like, one of the craziest moments that you've had as a player or a coach in a game? Like, have you ever something like that crazy happened?
Oh, man. Well, Golden West scored a touchdown with 30 seconds and 70 yards to go last year in the quarterfinals was a pretty crazy moment for me. Yeah. And then thinking the game was over, and then the ref put another second back on the clock. So that was frustrating and pretty – I'd never experienced that before. But, you know, being a head coach now for 11 years and being in high school football for over 20, you know, 5, 6 years, There's not much I haven't seen. You know, I've been let down. I've been ecstatic because we've made a play, and you just kind of scratch your head. When you put your hopes and dreams in the hands of 17-year-olds,
yeah,
you don't know what's going to happen.
I wholeheartedly agree,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I agree. Like as a coach, you're like, my mood depends on what a 17-year-18-year-old kid did on the football field. Like, what, like,
and sometimes it's your livelihood. It's not just your mood.
You got to keep your job too.
Exactly.
My job depends on that 17-year-old curling around and making a block on the outside.
It's so funny. My coaches will get frustrated with kids, especially walk-on coaches, you know, who just deal with the kids for a short time after school. And what's wrong with that kid? How come he won't do that, this or that? And I'm like, hey, you need to come sit by that kid in my English class, and I'll explain to you why he doesn't do that. You know, yeah. But you know what? At Kingsburg and most kids, they a lot of energy and effort, you know, it's a proud place to be at.
It is.
I'm really happy to be there.
It is. We only got a couple minutes, my gosh, with you.
It's all
Coach
good.
Wilson at Kingsburg. I got to mention really quick.
Sure.
So you got a pretty good kicker there.
Yeah.
Let's give this
kid 30
Rojas, seconds.
Danny Rojas, man. Yeah.
All right. Tell me about my former student.
Yeah, you guys don't know this, but this is one of Paul's MVP players from a few years
Pride
back.
Pride and joy.
And Danny's a great kid. He's well loved on the team, and he's not just a kicker. I hate that. You know, he kicks. That's kind of his thing. But he runs out there on scout defense, and my goal is to get something put together for him because he's got some athleticism. He runs really well, and he's got a big heart. And he's easily one of the favorites on the team. Coaches love him. Players love him. And
he kicked a 45-yarder in game one.
Yeah,
booted it.
And he's. It's so nice to have a guy that's going to get it close to the end zones on kickoffs, and you don't have to, you know, cringe every time a PAT happens. He's pretty automatic when it comes to that. And then he can make you one, you know, especially when you need it. And he's done that for us this year. And so I'm just happy he's a junior. I get him back next year.
I am too. All right, we got another minute here. Mm-hmm. How much longer you got coaching here?
Coach Wilson, I'm having fun. Huh? And I told my wife, as long as I'm having a good time and the school wants me, and I mean, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, I hope. You know, I'm enjoying myself, and I still feel like we're producing, and kids are liking it.
And you're still young at heart.
Oh, yeah.
You're still young at heart.
I'm 49. Come on. I'm in my prime. Paul, come on.
Your wife's laughing right now. All right, good stuff as always. Hey, thanks for driving up. Thanks for being
course.
Such a approachable, cool guy, man. Mm-hmm. I go visit a practice. Like, hey, Paul, come out here.
Oh.
So I'm literally on the field, hanging out with you guys.
You're teaching at our feeder school, man. I need you.
All right, I need you too. All right, good stuff as always. Good luck to the rest of the year. Dave Wilson, head coach at Kingsburg High. That is a wrap. Great show, man. Rapid fire stuff. Love my guest today. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Tanvir for producing the show. Andrew Pancotti, Colby Hunter, Dave Wilson, George Takata. Have a great rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.